Alka-Seltzer.
First.
Fast.
And always.
For first aid to fast relief from headache, acid indigestion, and cold misery, always rely on Alka-Seltzer, made by Miles Laboratories, who bring you transcribed One Man's Family. Overheard between Henry and Fanny in the library.
Come on, Henry, let's go to bed.
Go ahead, Fanny. I'm going to wait up for Clifford.
But he's at Miss Pemberton's. He won't be in till late.
How do you know?
Why, she keeps him up till all hours, night after night. She's going to ruin Clifford's health, Henry.
Mm-hmm. So that's how it is with the barbers today.
Alka-Seltzer.
First.
Fast.
And always.
Yes, friends, Alka-Seltzer. First, fast, and always. Alka-Seltzer is first aid for relief from acid indigestion. First, because Alka-Seltzer contains an alkalizer that acts to reduce excess gastric acidity. First, because Alka-Seltzer soothes and settles your acid-upset stomach. And fast, Alka-Seltzer brings fast relief from acid indigestion. Fast, because Alka-Seltzer is a bubbling, refreshing solution that goes to work in a soothing, pleasant way to help relieve acid-upset stomach. Yes, for fast relief of acid indigestion, always rely on Alka-Seltzer.
Ask your druggist for Alka-Seltzer.
First.
Fast.
And always.
Chapter 23, Book 82. It's a still, cold night in San Francisco. In the library of the Barber family home in Seacliff, Henry and Fanny have been listening to the late evening news. Now Henry rises, turns off the radio, and then throws a log on the fire.
Henry, what are you putting another log on for? It's our bedtime.
Yes.
Well, don't settle yourself in that chair again. You'll be falling asleep. Come on, let's go up.
You go ahead, Fanny. I'm going to stay up a while.
What for?
Oh, Clifford will be coming in before long, I expect.
Why, Henry, he's at Miss Pemberton's.
Huh?
He never gets away from her till after midnight.
He doesn't always stay that late.
Seems to me the only time we see him anymore in the evening is when she's on night duty at the hospital. He's so tired in the morning, I can hardly wake him up.
Good, but the boy's staying on the job. That's the important thing.
You may think that's the important thing, but to me, it's far more important that he keep his health.
Fanny, he's never looked better in his life. Why do you persist in making an invalid of him?
I'm not doing it. It's that Miss Pemberton keeping him out till all hours, night after night.
Clifford's no youngster. He's a grown man, Fanny. If he's staying out, it's because he wants to.
Well, it seems to me you have your mind set on having Clifford get involved with Miss Pemberton.
He's involved of his own choice. Furthermore, I hope he becomes more involved. She's a remarkably fine young lady.
I'm going to bed.
Just a minute, Fanny. We might as well get this cleared up right here now.
I don't wish to discuss it any further, Henry.
You can't bury your head in the sand like an ostrich. It's time you face the fact that there is a very likely possibility that Clifford will marry Maudie. Do you intend to oppose it?
I've heard nothing about marriage from Clifford, or about an engagement, or anything of the sort.
You still haven't answered my question. When you do hear about it, do you intend to oppose it?
Why, I wouldn't oppose Clifford in anything he really wanted.
Yes.
Well, I'm going. Coming?
My dear, if you don't mind, I'll stay here and read for a while. I'd like to see Clifford when he comes in, if he doesn't stay too late.
You can see him in the morning. Why don't you?
Oh, he just came in. Clifford?
No, Paul.
Huh?
It's Paul.
What's going on here? I thought you two would be in bed by this time.
I was just going up, Paul.
Sit down, my boy. It's not so very late.
Well, I'm tired. Good night.
Good night, Mom.
I'll be very quiet when I come to bed, Fanny, so you won't be disturbed.
Oh, I probably won't be able to sleep.
Well, what's the matter with Mom? She seems a little miffed.
I don't know, Paul. Women act very strangely at times. Now, your mother is one of the most generous, open-hearted, kindly women ever put in this earth. But in the final analysis, she's subject to all the foibles that go to make up the feminine mind. When you catch them in a certain mood, they are beyond reason, logic, or persuasion.
I think I've heard Mom say the very same thing about men.
But you can reach a man's mind. Now, take tonight, for example. We got on the subject of Maudie Pemberton and Clifford, eh?
Yeah. A delicate but not unusual topic these days.
There you are. Why should it be delicate? Only because your mother refuses to look facts in the face.
What facts?
Why, simply that she should be prepared to accept the inevitable. Isn't it perfectly obvious to you that it's only a question of time before Maudie and Clifford announce their intention to
Well, you know, Dad, sometimes women have an instinct about those things. An intuitive sort of knowledge that defies logic and evidence and everything else. I admit it's often very disconcerting to us men, but I don't believe it can be ignored.
Oh, stuff and nonsense. The boy's going to get married, and that's an end on it.
There doesn't seem to be any doubt in your mind, at least.
None whatever. I've got something here I was dying to show your mother, Paul. But I decided against it because she wasn't in the proper frame of mind to appreciate it. Just came across it by happenstance. I'd say it was an omen if I believed in that sort of thing.
Well, you got my curiosity aroused. What is it?
Something for Clifford. That's why I wanted to wait up for him so I could give it to him tonight.
Huh?
You see, I had occasion to go to the bank today. I'm giving you the background because it'll make the story more interesting. Eh?
I understand. You went to the bank and...
I don't need any prompting. I'll come to the point in due time.
Okay.
Your mother always rushes my stories and robs them of their climax. Now, there can't be any impact. Is that the door? Cleaver?
Yeah?
Come in. Come in, my boy. You're just in time.
Well, hi there. I was trying to come in quietly so I wouldn't wake anybody up.
Sit down. I was just about to relate an interesting story, which concerns you, incidentally, Cleaver.
Oh, okay.
A little early for you to be home, isn't it?
Yeah, kind of. Maudie was feeling tired tonight. I got out so she'd get some rest for a change. Where's Mom?
I went up a few minutes ago. I was just telling Paul that I went to the bank today in connection with some securities, which in themselves are not germane to the story, except for this, that it became necessary for me to open my safe deposit box. Now, I've opened that box off and on through the years, perhaps 100 times. And it wasn't until today that I happened to run across an item that I had completely forgotten. It was in a small tin coin box which bore a label, Miscellaneous Keepsakes. I don't know what prompted me to open it, but I did, and to my joy and amazement, I found something which, as I just told Paul, was like an omen.
Gosh sakes, Dad, what was it?
The denouement comes later.
Huh?
Nothing, Dad. I was just wondering what it was.
Yes, I'm coming to that. Do you boys recall my ever mentioning my aunt Isobel?
I do, vaguely.
Yes, yes. She died when you were a little chap, Paul. Before you were born, Clifford.
Your Aunt Isobel, huh?
Isobel Barber, a maiden lady, died of a broken heart. She was always very fond of me because she said that I reminded her of the man that she was going to marry.
Well, why didn't she marry him? What happened to him?
He was found dead the very morning they were to get married. Shot.
Oh, he killed himself?
I don't know. Though this happened back east after I'd come to San Francisco and the family kept the matter clothed in mystery. But I have reason to suspect that he died by his own hand. At any rate, when Aunt Isobel died, the one valuable possession that she left was willed to me. I have it here in my pocket. It's been in my safety deposit box for, 35 or 40 years, I dare say.
That's quite a story, Dan.
Yeah, but what was it?
I put it in my waistcoat. Well, here we are. Aunt Isobel's engagement ring.
Oh, that's really lovely. So old-fashioned and charming.
Well, can I see it?
It's yours, Clifford.
Oh, gosh, Dad, thanks. Oh, that's swell. Hey, that really sparkles. That's a good-sized diamond, you know it?
The setting is very old-fashioned, of course, but it's a very valuable diamond. I took it into the jeweler, and he appraised it. Oh, I took it in because I thought if you preferred to have it put into a modern setting, I'd be glad to have it done for you, Clifford.
Oh, Don, it's wonderful the way it is.
Well, Clifford, you can show it to Morty, and if she likes it the way it is, well and good. If not, you can tell her that it can be made to suit her taste.
So I'm supposed to give this to Morty, huh?
Oh, there's nothing like that attached to it, my boy. You can do what you like with it. As I said, I just happened to come across it, and I thought you might... Well, it wasn't doing anybody any good lying down there in a safe deposit box, eh?
Well, I'll certainly make a pitch with it, Dad. That shows how dumb I am. I never thought of getting an engagement ring. Here, Paul, take a look.
I think it's about the loveliest old ring I ever saw.
You think Marty will go for it?
You must tell her the story in back of it. That's as fascinating as the ring.
I hope it hasn't got a curse on it or something. Poor old Aunt Isobel didn't fare very well with it. What was the fellow's name she was engaged to? You remember, Dad?
Let me see. Seems to me his first name was Worthy. Worthy... Oh, slipped my mind. It'll come to me. Your mother may remember.
Wish we had a picture of him.
I bet he was dark, with a black beard.
I never saw the man. We have a photograph of Aunt Isabel. It's in one of those albums around here. I don't know where your mother's put them, but my recollection is that she was a very handsome woman.
And she never loved anybody else, eh?
Yes, so the story goes. And I can well believe it. Love used to be a serious matter.
Oh, I think people are just as capable of an abiding love today as they were in Aunt Isabel's time, Dad.
Sure. Hey, Paul, give me my ring back.
Here.
Oh, look at the size of that. She must have had slender figures, fingers. I don't think it'll fit Marty.
It's a simple matter to have it made larger.
Oh, sure. I can't wait to show it to her.
Did Clifford come home, Henry?
Yeah, Mom. I'm in here talking to Dad and Paul.
Yeah, I thought you had gone to bed, Fanny.
Come here. Come here and see what I've got, Mom.
Hmm?
What's the matter, my dear?
Oh, I got upstairs and felt restless. And I thought I heard Clifford's voice, so I came down to see if you weren't ready to come up now.
Hey, take a look at this. Isn't that pretty?
Where in the world did you get a ring like that?
Dad just gave it to me.
What?
Yeah, you remember that ring, Fanny. It belonged to my Aunt Isabel. Found it in the safe deposit box today. I brought it home for Clifford.
What are you going to do with it?
I'm going to give it to Marty for an engagement ring, if she'll take it.
Yeah. What did I tell you, Fanny?
Yeah, we're going to... What's the matter, Ma?
Why, nothing, Clifford.
You look so kind of tearful.
Not at all. I hope you'll be very happy, Clifford. Very happy.
The Barbers will be back in just a moment.
Alka-Seltzer.
First.
Fast.
And always.
Friends, when you've had a busy, hectic day and you come home feeling tired out and work-weary, the first thing to do is drink a glass of sparkling Alka-Seltzer and see how fast you feel better. That's right. Always depend on Alka-Seltzer. Relax and freshen up with Alka-Seltzer. Just dissolve one or two Alka-Seltzer tablets in a glass of water, then drink the sparkling, refreshing solution this makes. See how quickly and effectively Alka-Seltzer can relieve the tired, tense, aching muscles and headache. How its alkalizing properties actually help speed recovery from the fatigue itself. And listen, here's something else. To help you rest better and wake up feeling better, drink another glass of Alka-Seltzer before you go to bed. Yes, Alka-Seltzer offers real relief from that tense, tired feeling that follows a hectic day of nervous tension and hard work. Try it, won't you? Alka-Seltzer when you come home from a work-weary day and also before you go to bed.
Ask your druggist for Alka-Seltzer.
First.
Fast.
And always.
Here's the family again.
Turn out the light, Henry, and let's try to go to sleep.
Well, I'm sure I'll drop right off. It's remarkable how I chanced on that ring at this particular time.
I was thinking the same thing. It is remarkable. Turn out the light, please.
Mothers, since you are the guardian of your family's health, this will be of interest to you. It is difficult to check foods to make sure they provide the vitamins known to be essential to good health. But One-A-Day brand vitamins can be your assurance of complete vitamin protection. With One-A-Day brand vitamins, your family can get the essential vitamins that help ward off peplessness, poor digestion, nervousness, and other signs of vitamin deficiency disease. Just make sure that everyone takes One-A-Day brand vitamins every day. Not just once in a while, but every day. One Man's Family is brought to you every weekday night at this time, transcribed by Miles Laboratories, makers of Alka-Seltzer. Tomorrow, Clifford, the Triple Threat Man, Chapter 24, Book 82. This is a Carlton E. Morse production, directed by Michael Raffetto.